The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he answered them, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman came out from the region and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. So welcome to all of you who decided this was better than direct sunlight. Your dermatologists will all love you. So today, we get part two of the Joseph story. Somebody actually told me they didn't go to the beach because they wanted to hear the part two. So kudos to you all who were listening last week. So last week, and remember, the Joseph story is like 20 different puzzle pieces. And we got one puzzle piece last week, and we get one this week, and we're missing everything in the middle. So last week, Joseph was sold off into slavery, into Egypt, and after many setbacks and trials and tribulations, he finally actually, Pharaoh takes Joseph under his wing, and he becomes one of Pharaoh's trusted servants, and in fact, a father to Pharaoh, we hear later on. And so our reading today actually picks up after a few other things have happened, but we'll get to that in a second. His brothers show up because there is famine across all of the land, and the only place that has grain stores is Egypt. And so his brothers, not knowing who he is, come and seek his help. Now these are the very same brothers that last week wanted to kill him, and then just settled for throwing him in a pit without water, and then sold him into slavery. These same brothers show up and ask for help. Now, Joseph has a choice, and I don't know that in our day and age that we would make the same choice Joseph did. Now, I'll admit, Joseph is not sterling silver example here, but he's human. He doesn't fully castigate his brothers when they show up. He just takes one of them as ransom so that they'll bring his brother Benjamin back to Egypt. But as he sends them, and he sends them home with their grain and their money, so he doesn't even take their money to pay for it. He just sends them back and says, I'm going to hold on to this brother while you bring the other one. They don't know why. And so back at home, Jacob's like, oh, no, I can't let Benjamin go. I've already lost Joseph. This will be horrible. But they run out of food again, and they have no choice. And so this time, Benjamin goes with his brothers into Egypt, and the brothers again bow before Joseph, not knowing who he is. And again, Joseph gives them grain and puts their money sacks on top of the grain and sends them on their way, except for putting a silver cup in Benjamin's bag and then accusing him of stealing it, which brings them all back. But rather than going after Benjamin, Joseph finally, this is the moment where we pick up today, and Joseph goes, no, wait. This is my family. These are my brothers. And rather than bestowing punishment, he relents and embraces his brother Benjamin, and then embraces all of his brothers, who, by the way, aren't so sure they're excited to see him, even though he's saved their tuchuses twice now. But that's to be worked out later. The story of Joseph flies in the face of our instinct. We live in a time where we talk about justice and righteousness, and those brothers, they had it coming. They had done wrong to Joseph. He had every right to take them to task and to do something really horrid to them, because that's the mentality that we live in. And yet, that's not what Joseph gives into. Joseph serves to remind us that God's ways are not our ways. I talked last week about Joseph always acting out of his faith. And as I said at the early service, the blogosphere has been jammed this week on how to preach what's going on in our world. And someone pointed out that if we weighted equally all the words of the Bible would lean heavily towards violence. And not because God condones violence, but because we as human beings turn to that route more often than we turn to our faith in God. It's a hard lesson for us to look at. But it's covenant with God that brings us back to relationship, as we see with Joseph. It's covenant with God that reminds us that we're in brotherhood and sisterhood together. It's covenant with God that reminds us that forgiveness and reconciliation in the midst of our fear and our pain or lament, that brings us back to what is true in our faith. Forgiveness and reconciliation and relationship are much more difficult to engage than fear and violence. And Jesus is kind of similar to Joseph this week, and if we aren't careful, we could say that Jesus was right on the edge of saying it's okay to cast somebody out for who they are. I mean, this woman's a Canaanite, right? She's not even one of the Israelites. She's one of those outsiders. She's not worthy. She hasn't had the education. She doesn't practice the faith. And so when she comes and she asks and Jesus spurns her, it would seem odd and out of place if we didn't have that whole parable before about what defiles coming out of the mouth. And as Jesus says, why take food from children to give it to dogs? Calling her something a little bit worse than a dog. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs deserve the crumbs under the master's table. She brings that parable home for the disciples who were there. And Jesus answers her, woman, great is your faith. So what do we do with our faith? Our faith that calls us to justice and reconciliation and relationship, lament, love, Because it's been a few weeks, where the news has given us nothing but whiplash. Iraqis killed for their faith, protests in Ferguson, Missouri, children, thousands stuck at the border, the death of a man who brought joy to many, Israel and Gaza attacking each other once again, and quite frankly, if you ever pay attention to our local news, killings in the cities around us, not too different than Ferguson. I'm not sure that I have the answer, but I can tell you where my faith points me, and that is not an easy road. The Iraqis and the Israelis and the Palestinians and the Syrians and the Ukrainians and the children at the border and the people of Ferguson and, quite frankly, the people in Los Angeles who do not have access to the equal services that we have here in the South Bay. We cannot discount anyone as dogs. We are people of faith. We need to pray. We need to listen. We need to engage in difficult conversations, not to get our point across, but to be in relationship with someone who disagrees with us. We need to do what we can to feed our fellow human beings. Feed them with food, feed them with mercy, feed them with love. And when we cannot do more, when the sun goes down and our work is left unfinished, but we have done what we can do that day, we bring our lament of the injustice of the world to our altar. There is a part of me that, with all of the news this week, I really could not wait to get to Sunday so that I could celebrate Eucharist in our community, so that I could remember, as it says in our collect today, that Jesus died for our sins, for our shortcomings, for those things that have been left undone. And that together we share a meal that does acknowledge our shortcomings, but it's a meal that strengthens us and encourages us and supports us for the journey ahead. It's a meal where I can place my lament into the hands of God and know that God is with us on our journey. It's been a difficult week, but not so difficult that we can discount the life of another. We're called to be faithful. Faithful in the face of pain, faithful in the face of grief, faithful in the face of anger, frustration, fear, faithful in the place of love. May our faith sustain us as we do the hard work that is ever before us to bring justice and peace to all with whom we live. All. No dogs, no exceptions. Always. Amen.